proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. We are so thankful to have this privilege to bring the gospel to you. We air across the U.S., Canada, and even the continent of Africa. The Lord has opened a great door for us to bring the message of the truth of Jesus Christ and His salvation to so many people. So we're grateful that you are part of this project. Any way you can help us, you can do that right online at agradio.org. And we are incredibly grateful as it helps us to take the gospel to the nations. Today on Abounding Grace, we are looking at Jesus's kingdom teaching in Matthew chapter 13. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, are you frustrated with how things are going in the world? Do you wonder if anything is happening? Is salvation really occurring? All the frustrations, all the impatience that we have as Christians today, Jesus is giving us perspective in the midst of all of the struggle that He is saving His people. Not one of them will be lost, but we have to understand the nature of the opposition and learn patience and expectation of what is coming in the future. We're going to look at this today from Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the wheat and the tares. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. Please find us there, and we love to hear from you. Any correspondence is read, and we're thankful you take time to write to us. Here is now part two of a message that we heard yesterday from Matthew chapter 13, Life Among the Weeds. You can find that right online at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
So it's really pretty plain. The Lord took His seed, His sheep, and He loved them, and He planted them. He had always planned to give them the kingdom. Nothing will stop that. All of their days, He nurtured them. He cared for them, defended them, sheltered them, gave His best for them. But the enemy came in and did an obnoxious thing in His kingdom, corrupted the whole thing. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we remember that Satan slithered right on into the garden, boys and girls. And since that time, the Lord declared after the fall, when we all plunged ourselves into sin, that there are two seeds in the earth. There are the seeds of the king, the one who would come, who'd crush the head of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent. Right there were the two seeds, and history has shown us that everywhere. And that is how the devil has worked in the field. You think about all the things that are happening right now, how the devil has ripped up everything good. How do we get to a point in the world that a believer is simply assaulted for holding to the moral stances of God's word? You don't see these two seeds in opposition everywhere? Of course you do. Now, why is he telling us this? It's not too hard to understand. It's hard to accept. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to accept. And the first reason that it's hard to accept, I've got two major reasons that it's hard to accept. The first reason that it's hard to accept is because of the great danger that people will live in this world, the good seed will live in this world, thinking that this is all normal to life under the sun. And if you think this is normal, you become indifferent to the development of the kingdom, to anticipating the coming of the king, to make this right. And you think this is an acceptable course of things in life, right? That all the problems that we see, all the evil that we see, we go forward and we begin to think little about it. All the injustice. We begin to think little about it, and we slowly become desensitized to it all. It no longer affects us. We get up in our days, it's just normal. This is all normal. All the stuff we see that has now become ingrained into the new morality of society, whatever that might be, what they call it that, it's just normal. This is life. This is how it's supposed to be. And the first message here is, it is wrong to accept that this is right in the kingdom. This is not right. This is not right. All of this mess that we're in, all that we see, we are just so used to political discourse, some of the most vile speech now and things that I've ever heard. No one thinks any more of it. It's all normal to us. And at some point, people should stop and say, something's not right. You see how important this distinction is for your children, don't you? For if they don't understand this, they grow up thinking this is okay and right and normal. They accept life this way in thinking that this is normal, that this is what God has for us, really? And that all of the confusing things that are happening to them, they need to hear, it's not true. It's not true. It's the lie of the devil. What has happened to this world is bad. Something went terribly wrong. And here, the Bible is constantly telling us, you don't have an enduring city. It's coming to a quick, swift end. You have a home promised to you in heaven where, and think of the beautiful phrase in 2 Peter, where I promise you righteousness shall dwell forever. And this becomes so important for us then, for at the heart of our prayers has to be what we were told to pray. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Make this right. Make it right. Because of the awful damage that the tares are doing to the wheat, think of all the theft, violence, what we consider normal today. It's not God's way. It's not God's way. Jesus doesn't want us to accept this that way, as normal. We are to have righteous anger over the enemy, not only of death. It's one of the few things that few reasons I really like a funeral is because I get to, at that moment, defy death because Jesus beat it. The rebellions of the enemy and of the tares who've trashed this beautiful field. There's a second great reason. Did you notice verse 26? Look at it. So when the plants came up again and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said, the enemy's done this. So the servant said, then do you want us to go and gather them? And he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. I think this is a fascinating moment in the parable to ponder something that Jesus is emphasizing, that in other words, Jesus is saying with this obnoxious weed that is growing in the kingdom, there are certain stages of growth with the weed and with the wheat that you can't tell a difference. In the early stage, they're still a blade. They have no fruit, no buds, no heads. It's not until the grain begins to grow out and fill out that a major difference begins to appear. On the blades, their own kind of bad head, and on the wheat, their own kind of good head. What is being described for you? There's a, for a time, you can't tell. Tares grow up, and for a moment, you can't tell, and they have a moment of glory. But at some point, the kind of fruit appropriate to what kind of son they are shows itself. And when Jesus said, you're going to know them by the fruit that they bear, that's how you're going to know. They bear certain kinds of fruit, and that's how you can tell. But notice Jesus says it doesn't show until they bud. So the question of the angels is really important. Do you want us to go and fix this right now? We're ready. You tell us. We'll put a stop to this right now. No. No. Lest you uproot the wheat with the tares. I think there's such a beautiful message there. Beautiful message. As buds are starting to show, they obviously are seeing that the ratio of tares must be pretty large. A few tares wouldn't be all that concerning, but they need to be bundled. Here's the second reason for telling the parable. What is it? We have to be patient. All the antagonism, all the discouragements, all the hardships make us want to give up. I know. You get weary of all this. It just keeps hitting you. And all the pain of what the devil is doing and working, and all of his terrors in the world that he has planted among the righteous. But God has his children planted. You see, that's why the Lord doesn't put a stop to this. Why? It's not yet manifested who the sons of God shall be. So in other words, the Lord has his wheat in the earth. And many of them have what? Not yet budded. They've not yet budded. That's why we're here. Remember Peter said in 2 Peter 3, the Lord is not slow in giving you the promise. He's not slow in giving you heaven. That's coming. That's coming real fast. But he is what? Long-suffering toward us. Not willing that any of the wheat should perish, but that all of them come to repentance. He is long-suffering toward his wheat. He's patient in letting them fill out. There are still a lot of blades out there that are indistinguishable from the tares that have not yet budded, and that's what makes the prayer, Lord Jesus, come quickly, somewhat bittersweet. When he comes, salvation's over. It's over. It's done. So how much more are you willing to go through this and be patient, knowing that the patience of the Lord means salvation? I think I've used this before, but I'll use it again because I think it so illustrates everything that this parable is saying to us. My father, you know, grew up with parents in the church and attended Reformed Church all those years. But he would tell you later on in life, he just did it out of routine. It wasn't in the heart. It was just a social thing to do. He had friends. What kind of hearer was he? You couldn't tell. You could not tell. Until later in life, he became an elder of the church, and I saw my own father, Bud, at 50. I could not have told you. I was not sure if he was a true believer before that. But I saw it. I saw it. And do you realize this is what's happening right now? Right here? You've been sitting here a long time. Have you believed? Where's the fruit? It's not always numerical growth that the church is always blessed with. One of the things that makes me so humbled to be your pastor is I've seen in 6 years being here, this is one of the great benefits all pastors get to see under ministry, is blades that begin to show, wheat that begin to show budding and fruit. You know what a joy it is for us when a young person says, Pastor, I want to profess my faith. That didn't just come quickly and easily, did it? There's a lot of training and nurture and care that went into that, and patience that goes into that. I have to be patient with my kids, don't I? It's hard sometimes. Some of you may be dormant for years. And the Spirit all of a sudden takes that word and plants it in the heart, makes you born again, and there it comes. There it comes. Justified by faith, believing the gospel, and it's over. You're saved. Here's the point. What happens when we are impatient and frustrated with how kingdom life is going? What do? We begin to say, it's not working. Or something's got to change or it's all going to die. Or, listen, none of what we've said in the past seems to be working. We are in perilous times. Time to adjust. Time to change. This is what we do. So what happens at that moment? Here's the danger. We start to become seduced to find fixes for the state of things. Because the assumption is that the kingdom of God should not have these kinds of problems and this kind of opposition in it. Especially not the church. So we have ministries that just beat on the church incessantly for all of its failures. The church, yes, fails. We get sideways in our mission. But the calling of the church is not political. The calling of the church is not social. The calling of the church is not economic. But because of the state of the world right now, because of the tares are in panic right now mode, can't you see it? They're all searching to fix the world. And they're all talking. We got talking heads everywhere. Tares can't reform themselves into being wheat. You understand that? So what are their discussions right now? Well, whatever the popular solution is of the day, whatever the hot button topic is of the day, what is it right now? Social policy, racial reconciliation, on and on and on. This is their, the tares problem right now. All day long we hear it. All day long we hear it. And the church isn't quite where it should be right now, is it? Right? We're patient. We're supposed to be. Because the fullness will come when the kingdom comes in fullness. So whatever the tares are all worried about, well, now we're worried about. Because we have to be relevant to the tares. You see? We really want the tares to listen to us. It's kind of shocking in this language, isn't it? So we're seduced into their discussion, into their answers, and reform all of our mission around theirs. Alistair Begg was recently commenting on this, and he said something I thought was so helpful. Because we have lived through in the U.S. a period of time whereby the social, political, and economic concerns have encroached on the minds of those who should know better, and have begun to take on virtually a life of their own, we have begun to be seduced by the idea that these really are the issues. That if we could fix this and fix this and fix this, we would be fine. But we were never invited to fix this and fix this and fix this. The calling of the church is to proclaim the gospel. And whenever that which is central, namely the gospel, becomes peripheral, then that which is peripheral inevitably becomes central. Use whatever issue you want to use, right? And I would add that at these moments we get sideways on our mission and mandate, and we begin to judge the church not on the basis of what we're called to do, but upon the tares' concern of results. Do the means of grace work? Well, not really good enough, because look at the state of things. Isn't this just what Jesus said not to do? That the cares of this life choke the word so that it becomes unfruitful and we're no longer hearing? The cares of this life? So we forget this basic principle, is what I'm trying to say this morning. The kingdom of heaven does not come in ways that you expect it to come, or as the world will think it comes. I listened to the experts today, and they forget this basic principle, the kingdom of God. It is like a mustard seed. What is a mustard seed? When it grows, you can't, it's slow. Who watches a plant grow? When you look at the seed, you're probably going to say as it comes up, something's wrong with it. It's not filling out right, you know? It's lopsided. That's how mine are. But in the end, the Lord assures you, it will be a beautiful big tree. Did you see that there? That's right in the middle of this for a reason. But we are impatient and we are restless. And I would suggest it all has to do with our children. I would suggest it all has to do with our children. Where's the response? Many of us have an over-realized eschatology. Jesus is saying, on the whole, don't accept the state of things. Yes, he's saying that. Be faithful to the mission and mandate I've given. But remember, the kingdom of God does not come with observation in the ways that you think it should look, or right now in our impatience that we expect it to happen. On that day, we're going to see something that we all looked for and longed for, a full kingdom of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and we will stand back and say, wow, I had no idea it was really being accomplished. Like I said, when a young person professes their faith, there you see it. Jesus is saying, be patient. The fields are white for the harvest, yes. Some have not yet budded. His elect are coming in. But remember, in the midst of this, why it's so hard is because Satan has planted tares everywhere. And you know, wherever the godly are planted, next door the ungodly are planted. That's kingdom life. The tares can never ultimately, listen to this message, we're going to close, harm you. They can't. You are a victor in Jesus. He purchased and loved you. He cared for you. He promised that he has reserved a place for his people in heaven, and all of them will be there. Nothing can snatch you from his hand. These are all the promises that are all over the scripture. And the parable this morning assures you to press forward. Why? Because it's not going to be much longer. That's the closing take from this, isn't it? It's not going to be much longer. Notice how Jesus explains the end of the parable. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. There's when justice and all the injustice will be finally dealt with. And will cast them into furnace of fire, into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, this is what Jesus said in Revelation 14. Then I looked, and behold, a cloud, and one sat on that cloud was like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he is going to separate the wheat from the tares. And that's his whole point in this parable. But he makes this promise to you. The righteous, his people who believe in Jesus, will shine forth like the sun. That's coming, but that's not now. Together, we'll be doing that. You will shine like the sun, never to know separation, hardship, pain, tears, crying, sorrow, all the former things will have passed away. And you'll dwell in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells forever. Let this then be a great encouragement to you that no matter what happens here, he'll keep you. It's a short time. He'll keep you. Be patient. Recognize he's giving you and the people next to you in the pew today time to mature, for some to believe, then all of us together on that day will fully comprehend what it is with all the saints to know the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge.
listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.